Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of the word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of the word. We declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah. Kindly turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's see Paul's writing to his spiritual son Timothy. You know, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Let's say that again. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So, "and that from a child" there will imply when Timothy, you know, set out as a saint, or after I believed the gospel, in the infancy stage of his Christian walk, so to say. So, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." The word there, holy, is the word arios, and it's the word that speaks about something sacred. You know, something sacred. Something set apart. So, "thou hast known the set apart writings," that's the word, the scriptures, "which are able to make thee wise concerning salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You know, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, yeah, unto all good works, charged therefore before God. "And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season." Yeah, so you see, the extension comes from scriptures given by inspiration, or rather, "thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Yeah, you know, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Yeah, so that same word of truth in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, you know, he now comes and explains it properly in chapter 3, verse 15. "Thou hast known the holy scriptures." So he now tells you, scriptures are given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So when he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom," he says, "preach the word of truth." He had told you from chapter 2, verse 15. So it's going to be, "preach the word of truth, be instant in season and out of season." Yeah, what does "be instant in season, out of season"? At every point of phase in life, yeah, be consistent in what you say. So be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. Yeah, so it will be exhort with all long suffering, that is patience, and what? Doctrine. That's the word they're teaching. So remember from chapter 15 or 16, it tells us that scriptures are advantageous for doctrine, that is teaching. So in verse 3 of chapter 4, "for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Look at verse 2 again. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and what? Doctrine." So, "for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." So, sound doctrine is to be endured. Yeah? But, Pastor, why are we always saying, you see all these things you are saying, you are always repeating the same thing. And you are a very boring pastor. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "a time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Yeah, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." So because of the itching ears of the believers, or of men, so to say, yeah, they will heap to themselves teachers. Yeah, so when you see a teacher who takes time to painstakingly analyze what God's word says, yeah, when you see someone who painstakingly goes out of his way to show you what the meaning of those words are, oh, go and sit down, you are so boring. Yeah, but you want to look for acquire to prosper, to acquire them backfire in hellfire, right? So that, but really what it means there. Yeah, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, what is the instruction to Timothy in that kind of generation? It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. So whether they have itching ears, whether they don't have itching ears, be instant in preaching the word. So be consistent with patience and with teaching. Yeah, so look at verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, it says, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make proof of thy ministry. Yeah, so you realize that the way Paul wrote this letter is as though he was writing a letter knowing fully well that he was going to sleep soon. So look at what he says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept my faith, I have kept the faith. Altogether, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. So there's a reward for sticking with sound doctrine. Are we together, dear saints? Yeah, there is a reward for sticking with sound doctrine. Yeah, so we don't just stick to sound doctrine because we want to be happy. Yeah, in as much as it comes with happiness, the truth is that we are sticking to sound doctrine in obedience to God's word. So Paul says, be instant, preach the word. A time will come, people will not want to listen to you. So there are lots of people who we think were learning God's word together today. A time might come that they might heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. All together. So he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So, see verse 10, it says, for Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. So, it means that there was a time in Demas' life that he was active in ministry. Yeah, Paul says what? Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Yeah, Crescens to Galatian, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Yeah, how did I get there? Yeah, so we see that as an instruction to Timothy, that is an instruction to us as saints also. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. So when people don't want to hear it, you say it. When people want to hear it, you say it. So your saying it is not dependent on the reception of how they want to hear it or not. Your saying it is in obedience to how God says it should be said. So you see, God's word is the word of truth, and the word of truth needs to be taught truthfully. So, why are we doing series like this? We are going back to truthfully examine God's word without having any unnecessary bias or unnecessary sentiments. So, back to chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So, when Paul will tell Timothy in chapter 4, verse 2, and he says, preach the word Timothy will be asked to preach will preach what? The salvation that scriptures have been talking about. I want to get that. You see, when we are asked to preach the word, it must come with long suffering. That's what Paul tells Timothy. He says, exhort with all long suffering in verse 2. So, this journey we are on is a long haul, is a long journey. Yeah, it's not a sprint. Yeah, so you look at Christian doctrine, sound doctrine, as a relay. Yeah, you look at sound doctrine not as a sprint, not first to get to the finishing line. Yeah, so in the course of doing that, people will get tired. In the course of doing that, the itching ears of people will attract to themselves, will heap to themselves what? Teachers. Yeah, certain teachers, in the real sense, after their own lust, is that heaping cost. Are we together? So, when we say, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It means that the truth of God's word we are going to teach will be about God's saving plan. Yeah, now, we've established in this series that salvation has been God's plan from time. And the prophet of old, yeah, that's including Moses, wrote about God's saving plan. Look at John 5:46. Look at John chapter 5, verse 46. John chapter 5, verse 46. John 5:46. He says, Moses in his writings, right, was writing about a person. So we see that Jesus says, for had he believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So in the writings of Moses, that seems to be like different narratives of different stories. He was writing about a person. So Jesus says, if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So what did Paul tell Timothy? He says, preach the word in season, out of season. What does that mean? It means that when it looks like, you know, things are not going well, yeah, it's the same word that is necessary. When it looks like things are going well, it's the same word that is necessary. It says, for had he believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Verse 47, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So Moses in his writings was writing about a person, Jesus. So it means that we need to carefully go back to those writings and examine what were they writing. How were they writing what Jesus said they were writing? Look at Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 3. Romans just after Acts before 1 Corinthians. Romans 15, 3. So Romans 15, verse 3. It says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, yeah, they were written for our what? Our learning. Okay, again. Yeah, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written to us. Is that in your Bible? Nope. They were written for our learning. So, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. Yeah, so it means that we need to learn what needs to be learned from what was written aforetime. All together. Yeah, we need to learn what needs to be learned. So look at it again. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. The word they're learning is the word didaskalia, yeah, which is the word teaching. Yeah, that's the same word, or instruction. Yeah, that which is taught. So that's the same word used in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19, 20, when it says, teaching them to observe. Yeah, so that's the same word, that's Kalia. So the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, yeah, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures, yeah, that we, so the word patience, you know, can mean consistency or endurance. Yeah, so that we through endurance, consistency, yes, in other words, and comfort. Of the scriptures might have what? Hope. So it means that the scriptures were not written to you, but written for you. Let me say this way. The scriptures were not written to us, but were written for us to learn. What do I mean? When Moses was writing his writings, yeah, he didn't have you in mind. He didn't have me in mind. He didn't have your brother in mind, your sister in mind, that's alive right now. Yeah, he was talking to an immediate audience. Now, the past few teachings in this series, we've tried to examine what exactly or how Moses wrote. Now, we saw Luke makes us see about Moses in Acts 7, verse 22, that he was well skilled in the wisdom of the Egyptians. So, Moses in Exodus, that was born in Exodus, yeah, will be writing to an Exodus congregation, yes, the story or the narrative of Genesis. Yeah, so his audience will be the Exodus congregation, and we saw in scriptures that they were in bondage altogether. So they were written to another congregation for our learning. So it means that to understand what he must have meant, we need to sit where his audience sat. So think about Moses standing up and everybody he is teaching are sitting on the floor listening to him. Yeah, so before you can understand totally what Moses was teaching, you need to sit like an audience on the floor, listening to him, paying attention to his use of vocabularies, because words have appreciated over time. Yeah, words have appreciated over time. So words have had several meanings over time. You know, like I was saying, yeah, few years ago or 10 years ago, when you say goats, yeah, goats will imply the animal that is used for asum. Yeah, asum is the Greek word for that, you know, very beautiful, juicy delicacy that I love. Yeah, so goat will be used for asum. Yeah, but now you can say goat and either mean asum or you will mean the greatest of all time, G-O-A-T. You know, the first time I saw someone call someone a goat, I thought maybe, you know, the person missed a very beautiful chance in a football match and they just started insulting. You know, we Nigerians, we have that attitude of insulting. So when I saw goat, I'm like, oh, so it was until later I realized that, oh, goat really means, you know, greatest of all time. To think it was a Ronaldo's picture I saw that in first. Yeah, so maybe that's what it meant or that's what it meant. So goat in that time or goat 20 years ago, yeah, you most likely will not find someone calling goat greatest of all time as at 20 years ago. Yeah, but in today, goat will either mean the animal or the greatest of all time. So we need to sit where his audience sat. We need to sit where Moses' audience sat to be able to understand what Moses was saying. Now, let's go back to Moses' writing. Go back to Genesis. In this series, you know, for the first half of the series, we will dwell a lot in Genesis, the writings of Moses particularly. Now go back to Genesis chapter 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2 verse 8. Genesis 2 verse 8. Quickly, he says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." So the garden we said is the Greek or the Hebrew word rather, gan. And the Hebrew word gan implies an enclosed defended region. Yeah, the word Eden is the Hebrew word that speaks about what? Pleasure, delight, or luxury. So Garden of Eden was a way of Moses communicating an enclosed defended region of luxury. Yeah, and we said extensively that Moses used that to teach his congregation that God gave Adam a special place. Are we together? So, verse 9, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight." Now look at verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it." Yeah, we saw the word there dress, and we saw the word there keep. And we're able to understand that those words implies activities that were done by the priests or the ministers to Moses' congregation. Yeah, we saw the word there dressed to be abad, and it implies service. And we saw the word there keep, shama, yeah, to keep watch or to guard. And we're together. So when Moses says God gave Adam a garden to keep and to dress, we saw that the work of dressing in our day and time today might imply fashionista. But in Moses' writing, we were able to see on Sunday that that word there, dress, was a word usually used for activities done by priests. So it means that there was a priestly assignment given to Adam, yeah, by extension. So, if you look at verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden, thou mayest freely eat." Now, we now see something in chapter 3, verse 22. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. See what Moses says again. "And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Yeah, we've established the trees used by Moses were figurative. There was no literal tree that Adam or Eve ate from that made them defiled. Yeah, so there was a figurative use of trees to imply knowledge. So verse 23 now says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till." So we saw that in Adam's story, God sent him forth the garden or sent him from. Look at verse 24. It tells you what sent him forth means. So sent him forth from the garden, yeah, is what? Verse 24. He drove out the man. Yeah, look at chapter 4, verse 1. "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. And verse 2, she again bare his brother Abel." Remember, you must not make the mistake of trying to understand or read scriptures to make your, you know, history and history knowledge very perfect. All together. Yeah, because ideally, mankind today makes us to see that to give birth to a child takes 9 months. So verse 1 and verse 2 did not happen in the morning and in the evening. Are we together? So it will mean that, let me just say, it will mean that, okay, in the real sense, it will mean that, let me see what I would say. I'll say that later. I was going to talk about the seventh day and the rest. Yeah, but I'll say that later. Yeah, so verse 1 and verse 2 did not happen in the morning and in the evening. But see what happens in verse 11. Yeah, you know the story? Cain killed Abel because of the sacrifice that he brought and was accepted and all of those things. Now look at verse 11 carefully. He says, and now art thou cursed from the earth. Who is that? Cain, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hands. Dear saints, when Cain killed Abel, did the ground open and his blood started entering inside? No, that is a figure of speech. Are we together? Yeah? So, look at verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Now, we saw that the face of the earth, the word there, face, is the word that speaks about presence. Yeah, so look at verse 13 again. Behold, thou art driving me out this day from the presence of the earth, so to say. A better way to understand is the next sentence. And from thy face, the word thy face is presence. So, and from thy face shall I be hid. Now, if you remember from verse chapter 3, verse 10. Yeah, look at what it says. Chapter 3, verse 10, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Dear saints, voices don't have an ability to walk. Yeah, voices don't walk. So there's a figure of speech. So, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. We said that the word there, cool, doesn't imply evening. It's the same word, ruach, used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when it says the Spirit of the Lord over, right? So it says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So that hiding themselves from the presence, that's what their presence is, the same word face in Genesis chapter 4, verse 14. So a good way to read Genesis 3, verse 8 would be, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the face of the Lord, which is the presence of the Lord. Yeah, panim. So, verse chapter 4, verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the presence of the earth. What it really means is, from thy presence shall I be hid. So, we've seen carefully in scriptures that God drove them out. For Cain, God drove him out of the face of the earth. Dear saints, at the time God drove Cain out of the face of the earth, did Cain leave the earth? No. Cain was still on the earth. So it means that God drove Cain out of the face of the earth is a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech. All together. Yeah, look at verse 11 again. Genesis 4, verse 11. Now, and now art thou cursed from the earth. Yeah, to be cursed from the earth means, the word there, cursed, arar, it means to be without. Yeah, to be without or to be out. Are we together? In the real sense, to be without simply means what? I hid from your face. That is, I hid from your presence. Are we together? Yeah? So the cause there is not as you would say cause, yeah? So it is to be without. Look at this. We'll look at that. We'll look at blessing of Abraham properly and speak about the blessings of Abraham and how the word blessed speaks about being welcomed and all of that. Yeah, but till then, let's stay here in Cain and Abel this evening. Yeah, so we see that Cain did something. By extension, he was cast out of the earth. Being cast out of the earth doesn't mean he was not existing on the earth again. All together. Look at verse 16, and Cain went out from the face of the Lord, yeah? So what he was calling face in verse 14, what he called cursed in verse 11, he now tells you in verse 16, Cain really went out from the presence of the Lord, yeah? By extension, what happened to Adam from the garden? Adam went out from the presence of the Lord. So in the real sense, it is Moses' way of rejecting the offering that God gave to man. All together. So, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Yeah, I don't want to believe or suppose that you suppose or believe that Nod is in Mars or is in Jupiter. Yeah, but I thought he said he was cast out of the face of the earth. All together, figure of speech. So look at verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he builded the city. So if you are not careful in reading in context, you will think that, you will think this is what he's saying in verse 17. Cain gave birth to Enoch. Enoch built the city. But just keep reading. You know, I've seen someone say this, that, yeah? So, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived. The same way Adam knew his wife in chapter 4, verse 1. Right? So, Cain knew his wife. She conceived and bore a person and named him Enoch. And he built the city. How do you want to know the he? Look how it says, and called the name of the city after the name of his son. Enoch was not saying, so in fact, even if, you know, the Bible can be interesting. You know, if that word Enoch was not at the last word in that verse, you can possibly imply that it is Enoch that named the name of the city after his son. So, look at it again. So, and Cain knew his wife and builded a city and called the name of the city. So, it's Cain that builded the city and called the name of the city after his son's name, Enoch. So, clearly you see that the sin of man and the curse of man has nothing to do with material things. Because this, if you, now, you know, if you claim that Cain became poor and Adam became poor before, you know, after they did what they did, Cain should not be able to build a city. How many rich men today can build a city? Are we together? How many richest men in this world today can build a city? So, when it says he built a city and called the name of the city after his son Enoch, so it means that the curse that came upon Cain did not include prosperity or poverty. If it will include poverty, it is the poverty of being without, which is what? The poverty of being driven out of the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I will say it again and again. Yeah, the fall of man, or what man did not make mankind poor. So, Christ did not come to redeem us from the curse of poverty. No. It's not true. It's a lie. Yeah, let me say it better. Christ did not come to redeem the believers from the curse that came upon the upon mankind because of what Adam or Cain did. No. It's not true. There is no prosperity that is sorted out. See, Christ did not come to redeem mankind for prosperity from poverty. No, the only prosperity is the prosperity of the riches of the spirits. Yeah, the only poverty is the poverty of sin and death. Are we together? Being without, being outside. Are we together? Now he has brought us in. Glory to God. So God drove them out is the cause, which really implies that there was a separation by their rejection. So there was something they rejected, and that caused the separation. Are we together? Yeah. So we saw in scriptures already that God's plan and message from time has been about a relationship. We'll look at that on Sunday. Yeah. The relationship of heaven and earth. The union of heaven and earth. Yeah, Moses, in his very intelligent way, wrote about the relationship between mankind and God. Altogether, so the message of God has been about a relationship. That is why now that we have a relationship, it is not dependent on us. It is dependent on him and his work. Hallelujah. So look at chapter 4 again. Look at chapter 4. You know, I said already in previous teachings that, you know, that Abel brought animals and Cain brought fruit doesn't mean that God wants animals or prefers animals over fruit. It is Moses' way of communicating. Oh, are we together? Yeah, are we together? Yeah, it is Moses' way of communicating. God has never wanted blood. Okay, go to Isaiah 1. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. God has never wanted blood. God did not want the blood of Jesus. Else, there's no difference between him and Babalawo. God did not require the blood of Jesus. No, God is God all by himself. No. Yeah, the blood of Jesus was shed towards our mind for our conscience sake. We'll pay attention to that in maybe when we get to track 40 or track 45 in this series. Yeah, the blood of Jesus was not to God. Yeah, the holy place, the place where he took the blood to share is our heart. Yeah, by the preaching of the gospel. Look at Isaiah 1. Oh, glory to God. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Dear saints, when you talk of sacrifices, it speaks about blood being shed. So, to what purpose, what is the reason of the multitude of the sacrifices, saith the Lord? He says, I am full of burnt offerings of rams. So, when rams are sacrificed, blood is shed. So, the fat of your fed beast, I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats. Yeah, that doesn't still imply that God did not derive in the blood of goats, but derives in the blood of Jesus. No, Jesus is God revealing himself to mankind. Jesus is that sacrificial God that gives himself to mankind. Are we together? Yeah, so he says, when you appear before me, who hath required all this from your hands? So it means that Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, gave them the practice of shedding blood. Are we together? Yeah, who has required this from your hand? He says, your new moons, your solemn meetings, your Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. He says, it is iniquity. Altogether. Look at verse 15. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Verse 16. Wash yourself, make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doing. So the shedding of lamb, the shedding of bullock, the shedding of fat of the fed beast is what? An iniquity. He says they should put away the evil of their doings from his eyes. Cease to do evil. Hallelujah. Verse 17, he says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Yeah, judge the fatherless. Yeah, plead for the widow. Love work. Yeah, verse 18, come now, let us reason together. So, mankind wanted to help God to reason. But God had a plan of reasoning. God's plan of reasoning was the plan of salvation, which will come by the Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, such that any man that believes him, he is saved forever. Yeah, you see, Jesus is the original one chance. Are we together? Hallelujah. Jesus is the original one chance. Nigerians will understand that better. Yeah? Jesus is the original one chance. What we call one chance as a practice in Nigeria in vehicles. Jesus is the original one chance. You enter, the door is locked. Glory to God. So come now, let us reason. Yeah? Say the Lord. What is the reasoning of God from time? It has always been about sins and forgiveness of sins. Yeah? When Adam did what he did not lose contact or he did not lose possession of all the trees and animals he had under his control. Are we together? So he says, though, verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So God had a reasoning regarding sins being white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 38. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it means that Jesus Christ, in John 14, Jesus tells you, I am the way, the truth, the life. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Isaiah 9:6 says what? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his shoulder, and upon his shoulder shall the government be. His name shall be what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So Jesus is the Father. Father, who became man to die for the sins of man. Are we together? Yeah. So in the real sense, if God does not require sacrifice in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, it means we need to go back to see where they said God required it and reinvestigate. Are we together? Yeah. So if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? The good of the land is that tree of life planted in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. The tree of the life is the bread of life. Yeah. The good of the land rather is the bread of life. So, when you be willing and obedient simply means to believe my gospel. What is my gospel? Verse 18. If your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. That is the gospel. So, go back to Genesis 4. Genesis 4, verse 2. So, when you see Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, and she gave birth to Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. He's not saying God recognizes those that keep sheep over those that till ground. No. Yeah, it's Moses' way of communicating truths. Now, let's keep reading. Look at verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, let's look at something carefully. Now, in verse 4, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now, the Greek Hebrew word for the word firstling is the word bekora. Yeah? I'll say that again. Look at that word, Genesis chapter 4, right? Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. The Hebrew word for that word firstling is the word bekora. Spell it for us. B-E-K-O-R-A-H. So it's bekora, bekora. Let me now show you something. Yeah? Let me show you something. The Hebrew word for the word firstlings is the word what? Bekora. 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 Now, let me tell you what the meaning of bekora means. Bekora is a word that implies being a firstborn or implies firstborn or implies birthright. Are we together? Yeah? I'll say that again. The word firstlings is the word bekora and it implies firstborn or birthright. Let's see how Moses used that word in other verses. Look at Genesis 25, verse 31. Genesis chapter 25, verse 31. Yeah? Look how it says. Genesis 25, 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy Bekorah, Bekorah. That's the word birthright. Are we together? Oh my goodness. So can you see? It is used as birthright in Genesis 25, 31. It is used as firstlings in Genesis 4, verse 4. Are we together? Look at that again. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. What is the word Bekorah, Bekorah? It implies birthright or firstborn. Now look at verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob swore to me this day, and Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his Bekorah, Bekorah unto Jacob. Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and porridge of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his Bekorah, Bekorah. All together. Esau despised his Bekorah, Bekorah. Look at Genesis 27. Genesis 27. We're in 25, go to 27. 27, 19. 27, 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Thy what? Thy firstling. Thy Bekorah, Bekorah. I have done according as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, and sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may what? May bless me. That word there, bless, is the word Barak. Barak. Hallelujah. We'll look at that in the blessing of Abraham. Yeah, that thou may bless me. See verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Wash. Eh? Say wash. Look at verse 36. And he said, Genesis 27, 36. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me. These two times he took away my what? Bekorah, Bekorah. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved the blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. Yeah, why? Because he barak, that means he blessed. Beautiful. Look at chapter 43, verse 33. Genesis 33. And they sat before him, the Bekorah, Bekorah, according to his birthright. Yeah, that word there, firstborn, you know, the first name, which is birthright, is Bekorah. The word which is firstborn is Bekor. Yeah, we looked at that when we're dealing with Genesis. Yeah, how we spoke about in the beginning, and how it has to do with Bereshit, and how it has to do with similar words under Bereshit. Yeah, so Bekor there is the firstborn according to his Bekorah. Altogether. Yeah, so the word firstling, that is Bekorah, implies the birthright, or the birthright of the firstborn. That which is the right of the firstborn. So the birthright of the firstborn is what we see it used across scriptures. So we see that Esau was the biological first child. Yeah? What does that mean? Let me say better. Esau came out of the womb before Jacob. Look at Genesis 25 again. Genesis 25, verse 26. Look at Genesis 25, verse 25. And the first, came out red. All over like an hairy garment, and they called his name what? Esau. Yeah? Now, after that came his brother out of his hand, took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called what? Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years. Isaac was 80 years. What is 80? 80 simply, a score is 20. So 80 will be 60. So Isaac was 80 years old when she bore him. Look at 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tent. Dear saints, if you are taught that God requires blood, not more than fruit or more than any other profession, or requires those that keep sheep, that narrative will not be consistent for Esau and Jacob, because it tells you that Esau was a hunter, a cunning hunter, a man of the field. So Esau was similar, the profession of Esau was similar to the profession of who? Abel. Are we together? So now, usually, it's something to understand. In the Middle East culture, the father will usually transfer the right of firstbornhood to the first son. That's what's called birthright. Altogether. So what is birthright? Birthright is like an authority to stand in the father's place. Say that again. Birthright is like an authority to stand in place of the father. In place of the father. So the firstborn can be seen as that one which continues in the authority of the father. I'll say that again. Remember, who is writing Genesis? Moses is writing Genesis and writing to an Exodus audience. Yeah, the word there, firstling, like we're reading from Genesis 4, is a word that implies the birthright of the firstborn. What is the birthright? The birthright is a right of birth to stand in place or in the stead of the father. Altogether. So the firstborn ideally is like the one who continues the authority of the father. I mean, if you look at it in our day and time today, except the firstborn is not responsible. Ideally, the firstborn takes over the responsibilities from the shoulders of the father, or the shoulder of the father. Altogether. But you will notice something important in Esau and Jacob's story. Esau despised his own what? Right of authority. Look at that Genesis 25 where we are. Genesis 25 verse 26. Let's read that quickly up until 34. Just follow attentively, right? And after that came his brother out of his hand, took hold on Esau's heel. We've read that already. 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was cunning. We've read that already. 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. All together. And Jacob sowed pottage. Right? The word there, saw, just means to boil. So the word there, saw, it means to boil up or to heat up. Right? So Jacob sowed pottage, or he cooked porridge, what you say as porridge. And it looks, I think we can just stick with, a solid food. Let's just stick with that. So he cooks food, and Esau came from the field and he was faint. Esau came from the field and he was faint. Now, did he say Esau came from the field and he fainted? No. What is he was faint? He was weary. He was tired. He was exhausted. Are we together? If Esau fainted, we would have seen the story of Jacob trying to resuscitate him. So, and he was faint. We mean what? He was tired. He was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red porridge, for I am faint." That means I'm tired. Therefore was his name called what? Edom. All together. Keep reading, please, right? And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy Bekorah. That sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day that I swear unto him." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto him. Then Jacob gave bread and porridge, or porridge, to lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. He now tells you what really happened. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. So what did Esau do? Esau despised the authority or the office of the position of his father. Are we here? In the real sense, what was Esau doing? Esau, in the literal sense, was eating food, buying up food. But in exchange for the food he ate, he was giving up his authority as the son who has the responsibility of taking or standing in the father's stead. Are we together? Dear saints, whose decision was that? Was it God's decision or Esau's decision? Esau was hungry and he sold his birthright. Do you understand? Now, this will help you a little. So, this will lead us to the narrative of Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. In the real sense, what was sold? A birthright was sold. So the birthright, like we said, is the right to stand instead of the father. So what did Esau despise? Esau despised the position of his father. Now let's look at who his father was. Now remember, who was Esau's father? Esau's father was Isaac. Right? So it means that what Isaac would have would most likely come to Isaac by his father. Are we here? Now, who was the first son of Abraham? First son of Abraham, literally, was Ishmael. We looked at it on Sunday in Galatians chapter 4, that Paul says, these things are an allegory that speaks about two covenants. Are we together? So keep reading. So never forget, what Isaac had to pass across to either Esau or Jacob was something he received from his father. So it was something transferred by laying on of hands. Altogether, go to Genesis 20, verse 1 to 7. Genesis 20, verse 1 to 7. Genesis 20, verse 1 to 7. Let me say it again. Whatever Isaac had to transfer to his own son would be having something he had received from his own father. Are we together? Look at Genesis 20 verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Yeah, narrative. Jump to verse 7 where we are going to. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a what? A prophet. The word there, prophet, is the Nabai. N-A-B-I-Y. The word a prophet is the Nabai. A Nabai is a spokesman, a speaker. Yeah? We'll look at that shortly again when we deal with prophets. Yeah? Abraham is a Nabai. The word there, Nabai, is a speaker, a spokesperson. Someone who speaks on behalf. Or someone who communicates a message. So, for Abraham to be a prophet, it would mean that what he gave Isaac will be in a communication of a message. So, the office that Isaac was operating in reference to Jacob and Esau, was something that was given to him by the laying on of hands and the speaking of Abraham as a prophet. So, that was the office or the function that Abraham transferred to Isaac. So, Abraham, a prophet, transferred what? The function or the office of a prophet to Isaac, which what Esau despised. Now, because Isaac supposed to ideally transfer that to who? Esau, the firstborn. But what did Esau do? Esau, for food, sold his what? Bekorah. His birthright. His right to stand in the authority of the father. His right to stand in the stead of his father. All together. Now, we saw on Sunday that the same message to Abraham was the same message to Isaac. We saw that on Sunday. Yeah, in this shall thy seed be blessed and shall multiply. Same to Abraham, same to Isaac, same to Jacob. Joseph also recounted it. And we saw it was the same to man, Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15. Thy seed shall bruise the head. Altogether. So the same message of seed. So Abraham communicates that to Isaac. So in the real sense, Isaac is meant to communicate that office or that function to his son in the real sense, which will be what? The firstborn, which is who? Esau. But what did Esau do? Esau despised taking responsibility of that office, of that function from his father. Altogether. Now, remember, Isaac wasn't the first child. Remember that narrative? Yeah. So, Isaac wasn't the first child born by Abraham. It was Ishmael. But you will see that in the narrative, he now speaks about what? The only son. We'll look at that later in details. Yeah. So, Abraham as a prophet to Isaac, also, so Abraham, who was a prophet, allowed or made or expected that Isaac would function in that office of a prophet. Look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verse 2 to 4. Genesis 26, verse 2 to 4. Genesis 26, verse 2 to 4. He says, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these what countries. The seed will be Christ, remember. Yeah. So in Christ shall the nations of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I will perform the oath which I swore unto thy Abraham, thy father. Look at verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. The same promise to Abraham. Right? And will give unto thy seed all these countries. Yeah. God's plan of salvation was for the entire world to be saved. Altogether. That's why it says going into the world. Or, yeah, Luke 24, 44. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and all the nations of the earth. Altogether. So, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Yeah? Who is that? Jesus. Now look at verse 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord God appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. What now happened? And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servant digged the well. All together. Yeah, so we see that Isaac also had a message. The same message which was as a promise to his father. So, let's take a step back. What did Esau do? Esau despised the office of his father. If Esau had acknowledged that the office that his father would give unto him as a responsibility was very important, he would not say, give me this food for better rights. So, what was the office of his father? We saw it as a prophet of God. So it means that Jacob knew something that Esau did not pay attention to. Jacob desired that office of the father, which was the office of a prophet. So, Jacob believed the promise and also desired to function in the office of his father as God's who? Prophet Nabai, God's priest, God's spokesperson. All together. Look at Genesis 48, 48, 21. Genesis 48, 21. I said again, Esau despised the office of his father. Jacob desired the office of his father. So, Jacob have I loved. Is it that God predestined his life to go that way? He's a figure of speech. Yeah, we'll look at that shortly. Look at Genesis 48, verse 21. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. All together. Yeah? And bring thee again unto the land of your fathers. Now, this is Jacob talking to Joseph. Remember, Joseph was not the firstborn of Jacob. Remember that narrative? Yeah. Jacob was not the firstborn. Joseph, rather, was not the firstborn of Jacob. Look at 35:23. Genesis 35, verse 23. Look at Genesis 25, verse 19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Look at verse 21. He says, and Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Ida. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in the land, that Reuben went out and laid with Beulah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben. So Reuben was the first son. Altogether. So Reuben was the firstborn. But Jacob is talking to Joseph in Genesis 48, verse 21, and says, Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Notice well, that ideally should have been to Reuben. So let's take a step back. If you notice well, it was Abraham to Isaac, not Ishmael. Altogether. It was Isaac to Jacob, not Esau. It was Jacob to Joseph, not Reuben. Altogether. So you will see that there was a pattern that none of them were the firstborn or the first sons. But something was consistent. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they had what? Faith. Are we here? Now, this will make sense shortly. Let me say it again. We notice that Abraham's first son, Ishmael. So ideally, it should be Abraham, Ishmael, right? Then, okay, no, it's not be Reuben, because Reuben will not be the first son of Ishmael. Yeah, but in real sense, it used to be Abraham, Ishmael, There may be Ishmael or somebody else, maybe Mahmud. Yeah, but it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means they had faith in reference to what God will do. So it means that Isaac heard the message and he believed like his father. Jacob heard the message and believed. He held in high esteem the birthright of the first son. And they all functioned in the office of a priest. Look at Exodus 2. They all functioned in the office of the priest, God's prophet, God's Nabai. Exodus 2 verse 24. So what it says, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Yeah, can you see God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? So that now set a pattern of what? Faith in God's faithfulness. You get that? Yeah, that now set a pattern of faith of this man in God's faithfulness, in God's promise. Remember, Abel also wasn't the first child. But when you read Hebrews 11, yeah, when it says now faith, we saw that the word there now doesn't speak about now, this moment. Yeah, it's the word moreover. So faith is the substance of things they hope for. Yeah, they have evidence of things they did not see. Yeah, by faith they what? Obtained a good report. But they without us, look at Hebrews 11. Hold your hands in Exodus 2. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11. Now, that's moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So we are able to see the good report of, so what is the good report? We have the good report of their faith in God's faithfulness, their faith in God's voice, their faith in God's message. That's why it now tells you, through faith we understand the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made by things which do appear. He now starts from Abel. Can you see Abel's name is mentioned? Can you see, and without faith it's possible, he now says Noah, he now says Abraham. Can you see, look at verse 17. Look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to be have returned. But now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Remember, in verse 10 it says, Abraham looked forward to a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker in God is God. Look at verse 17, sorry. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, you see Isaac mentioned, look at verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, 21, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention. Can you see how the hall of faith now kept going? Jump to verse 39. Hebrews 11, 39. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made what? Perfect. Look at that in chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Who are the cloud of witness? The men he has written all from chapter 11, verse 1. So we have so great a cloud of witness, not the cloud that is foaming as if rain wants to fall. Yeah, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. All together. So, look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thy chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Yeah, does God rebuke? Yes. How does he do that? By his words. Yeah. From whom the Lord loveth, he chastised. How does God chastise? By his words, not with punishment, not with disease. Yeah. Not with accidents. Yeah. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Yes. So if you keep reading that, you keep seeing how we now got to, you know, the whole heavenly Jerusalem and things like that. So we see that what? Exodus chapter 2. Yeah. It now became a covenant of God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. So it means that Abraham believed. Is that true? Abel believed. Adam and Cain possibly rejected. Not possibly. Adam and Cain rejected. So Abel received. Adam, Cain rejected. So when you see the Bible says, Esau have I loved. Jacob have I hated? No. It will speak about he who despised that which was important and he which did not despise that which was important. Yeah. God, the concept of election is what we are going to, you know, round up the series with in later time. Yeah. Predestination, election, calling, and all of that. Yeah. No, it is not that God chose that amongst the people, amongst the two children, that it will be Jacob that will be blessed. No. You know, now in your mind you might be saying, but it says that the younger shall bless the senior. Yeah, look at it. Just look at it. Yeah, if you want to give birth to a child tomorrow and you have twins, right? You have twins, and I tell you that one of your and I tell you by prophecy, your word of knowledge, and I tell you word of wisdom, my word of wisdom, word of knowledge, by prophecy, I tell you that the two children you give birth to, the younger one will serve the older one. Does it mean I'm the one that told you? Or that made it that way. Doesn't mean that it was God that made it that way. Yeah, we'll look at that in days to come. So if let me show you something quickly. Look at John 13:23. We'll use Romans teaching, how Paul taught it in Romans to explain and bring clarity to it. You look at John 13, verse 23. You say John 13:23. He says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Yeah, who is that? That's who you call John the Beloved. Now, who is writing the book of John? John himself is writing the book of John and he's telling us that Jesus loved him. Yeah? Now, it would be very careless of you to think. Look at chapter 21. Look at chapter 21, verse 20. John 21, verse 20. John 21, verse 20. Then Peter turning about, see a disciple whom Jesus loved, following. That person Jesus loved is John. Yeah. Following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed that thee? Peter seeing him said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. 23. Then when this saying abroad amongst the brethren, and disciples should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is he thee? Yeah, this is disciple which testified of the things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are so many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the word itself cannot contain the books that should be written. That's a figure of speech. I think that's hyperbole, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's a figure of speech when you exaggerate, just to pass your message across. Yeah, so we see that Jesus, the one whom Jesus loved. So imagine you now reading scriptures and taking from the book of John that Jesus loved John more than other disciples. You know, it would be unfair. Yeah, so we'll pay attention to Esau have I loved, Jacob have I hated. What does it mean? Yeah, what plan of selection is that, and what mode of writing was used to communicate that truth? This has been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. We'll continue heaven and earth on Sunday. Have a lovely night, rest. I love you all. Cheers.